May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today as we look at the Beatitudes of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, who is the spiritually prosperous person? You can find this study and many more of these studies on abidingchrist.com. ABIDEINCHRIST.com. Abidingchrist.com. Click on Sermons and Bible Study. She gave him no affection, no love, no discipline, no training during those early years. She even forbade him to call her at work. Other children had little to do with him, and so he was alone most of the time. He was absolutely rejected from his earliest childhood. He was ugly and poor, untrained, unlovable. And when he was 13 years old, a school psychologist commented that he probably didn't even know the meaning of the word love. During adolescence, the girls would have nothing to do with him, and he fought with the boys. Despite a high IQ, he failed academically and finally dropped out during his third year of high school. He thought he might find a new acceptance in the Marine Corps. They reportedly built men, and he wanted to be one. But this problem went with him. The other Marines laughed at him, ridiculed him. He fought back, resisted authority, and was court-martialed and thrown out of the Marines with an undesirable discharge. And so there he was, a young man in his early 20s, absolutely friendless and shipwrecked. He was small and scary in stature. He had an adolescent squeak in his voice. He was balding. He had no talent, no skill, no sense of worthiness. He didn't even have a driver's license. And once again, he thought he could run from his problems, and so he went to live in a foreign country. But he was rejected there too. Nothing had changed. And while there, he married a girl who herself had been an illegitimate child, and brought her back to America with him. Soon she began to develop the same contempt for him that everyone else displayed. She bore him two children, but he never enjoyed the status and respect of a father. His marriage continued to crumble. His wife demanded more and more things that he could not provide. Instead of being his ally against the bitter world, as he hoped, she became his most vicious opponent. She could outfight him, and she learned to bully him. On one occasion, she locked him in the bathroom as punishment, and finally, she forced him to leave. He tried to make it on his own, but he was terribly lonely. And after days of solitude, he went home, literally begged her to take him back. He surrendered all pride. He crawled. He accepted humiliation. He came on her terms. And despite his meager salary, he brought her $78 as a gift, asking her to take it and spend it any way she wished. But she laughed at him. She belittled his feeble attempts to supply the family needs. She ridiculed his failure. She made fun of his sexual impotence in front of a friend who was there. At one point, he fell on his knees and wept bitterly, as the greater darkness of his private nightmare enveloped on him. And finally, in silence, he pleaded no more. No one wanted him. No one had ever wanted him. He was perhaps the most rejected man of our time. His ego lay shattered in fragmented dust. The next day he was a different man. He rose, went to the garage, took down the rifle he had hidden there. He carried it with him to his newly acquired job at a book storage building. And from a window on the third floor of that building, shortly after noon, November 22, 1963, he spent two shells crushing into the head of President John F. Kennedy. Dr. James Dobson says, Lee Harvey Oswald, the rejected, unlovable failure, killed a man who more than any other man on earth embodied all the success, the beauty, the wealth, the family affection that he lacked. Oswald kept asking three questions. How do I look? How am I doing? How important am I? He based his whole miserable life on appearance, performance, and status. Ironically, he failed in every area. He gained a place in history by demonstrating his hostility and fear and guilt, which he used to defeat a shattered ego. More than ever, I'm convinced that the Word of God has the answer to the basic needs of our personal lives. In the words of Jesus, we gain an understanding of the righteousness of God and biblical principles for Christian maturity. In the Beatitudes of Jesus, we learn how to enjoy the inner happiness. The Sermon on the Mount does not present the way of salvation, but the way of righteous living for those who are in God's family. What does the word blessed mean? Frankly, in English, it doesn't mean much to me. It's an open vessel until it's filled with the meaning of the original language. It's essentially a state of mind that is identified with the pure in heart, the pure character that is founded in God's righteousness. And sometimes you'll see the word variously translated to be envied, spiritual prosperous, filled with joy, satisfied. The word happiness is not a good translation because its root is chance. The spiritually prosperous person is not bound by the chances in life. To be blessed is to be conscious of perfect joy, perfect peace, and perfect rest. It is the inner condition of being a believer in Jesus Christ. John R.W. Stott observed, It is seriously misleading to render Makarios happy, for happiness is a subjective state, whereas Jesus is making an objective judgment about these people. He is declaring not what they may feel like happy, but what God thinks of them, and what on that account they are blessed. M.R. Vincent described the word blessed as a sense of God's approval founded in righteousness, which rests ultimately on the love of God. He added, it is the express symbol of happiness identified with pure character. Here's the person who lives above the chances and the changes in life. He has a life joy that is completely untouched and unassailable by the chances and the circumstances in life. Perhaps no one expressed it more beautiful as did the Greek scholar Kenneth Woost. He said, it means prosperous. And here the context limits its meaning to spiritual prosperity. That is, spiritually prosperous are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And heaven's blessings flood the soul of the saints who have a contrite and humble heart. Their prosperity consists in heaven's blessings. Their spiritual condition is prosperous. In his volume on vocabulary, Woos makes this observation. Makarios, and that's the Greek word for blessed, describes the state of the man who is the recipient of the divine favor and blessing, a state of true well-being. Kramer said, it is the gracious and saving effect of God's favor, but it's enjoyed only when there is corresponding behavior toward God. This spiritually prosperous person experiences a blessedness of life, a life joy, because God has been gracious to him in providing salvation. It has nothing to do with our outward condition or status in life. It's always signifies the happiness produced by some experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of the grace of God. The only person who can be described in such a way is the believer who is in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is the state or condition of the believer. He is the recipient of the new birth, salvation, and responding to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in his life. When we cooperate with him, he produces this kind of life in us. He is enabled to minister these blessings to the believer when he has yielded to the Holy Spirit and cooperates with him. This is the state or condition of a man to whom Christ's righteousness is imputed by faith. The blessed person, or spiritually prosperous person, is the state or condition of a man or woman to whom Christ's righteousness is imputed by faith. Such a person is promised the kingdom of God, comfort, mercy, shall inherit the earth, see God, is called the Son of God, etc. It is a blessing that comes from God to those who trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation and life. When we believed on Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we came to share the very life of God. He gave us eternal life, His life. Eternal life is nothing less than the life of God. It is to share in that life that Jesus Christ offers to men. Because it is His kind of life, it is independent of the outward circumstances. It has within itself all it needs to perfect happiness. It is the independence of all the chances and the changes in life. The Christian bliss is the bliss of the life of God, and is therefore the joy that no man can take from us. We will not be surprised to find that it is completely the reverse of the world's standards. Here's a life joy, that takes us through our pain and sorrows and loss and grief and tears and fears. Change in fortune, collapse in health, failure of our plans, disappointments of our ambitions and dreams in life do not affect it. The Beatitudes of Jesus Christ are not wistful glimpses of some future eternal sunset. They give us life and hope today. The spiritually blessed person is secure in Jesus Christ, significant in God's kingdom, and sufficient in God's provision. He is the recipient of divine favor and blessing. He is prosperous because of God's saving and sustaining grace. This spiritual prosperity comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Who is a spiritually prosperous person? Who is this blessed person? Jesus said such a person is spiritually poor. He is one who mourns over his poverty. He is spirit-controlled. He hungers and thirsts for a right relationship with God. He is gentle, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, and persecuted because of his intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Amplified Bible reads, blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous, that is, filled with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Jesus Christ is our best example of the spiritually prosperous person. The night of his crucifixion, he spent the evening comforting and preparing his disciples for his death. And when he needed encouragement, he went to the Mount of Olives to pray. In Gethsemane, he took Peter, James, and John and began to be grieved and distressed in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And then Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet not as I will, but as you will. And when he came back after a period of prayer, he found his disciples sleeping. It must have added to his agony of spirit as he fought the battle alone. And so, you men could not keep watch from me for 1 hour? And then he added, Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Jesus returned to the place where he was praying alone and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. And then Jesus returned to the three and found their eyes heavy in sleep. And so he returned a third time and prayed. Moments later, all the disciples left him and fled, as Jesus was led away by the high priest for trial and crucifixion. Jesus lived above the chances, the changes, and the circumstances of that hour. He knew only one thing, not my will, thy will be done. He drew his strength from the Father's presence. He could say with confidence and security, But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. That is the spiritually prosperous man. You may be asking yourself, Yes, but how do I get it? How can I be this kind of a person? The conditions of the spiritually prosperous person are revealed in this passage of scripture. There are two eras in modern thinking. There are two eras in our thinking about happiness. We often get into the trap of thinking the solution to our personal happiness depends on a change in our circumstances. Lord, if you would only change, you fill in the blanks. Lord, if you would only change, I'll be happy. The other era is to think the solution depends upon the change in our feelings. The mature believer assumes his own responsibility for personal growth. I choose to be all that God wants me to be in Jesus Christ. I choose to live a spiritually prosperous life. Jesus said, Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We must assume our responsibility in living the Christian life. It's not automatic. God will not pry a hole in your head and fill it with knowledge of Him. He does not turn us into robots. No, He calls us to a critical decision. Have you made this all-important choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master? Yes, it begins with a personal relationship with Him. Everything I have said is foolishness if you have not turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You cannot have the spiritual prosperous life without being born again. Spiritual birth must take place before you can grow in your knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot become like Him until He has come into your life through a spiritual birth. And this spiritual life begins with a deep realization of sin in your life and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And if you have never done so, will you pause right now this very moment and ask Jesus Christ to save you? The focus of this message has really been on the Christian's attitude toward God's kind of life. Jesus used this word, blessed, to express the happiness identified with pure character. It's a sense of God's approval founded in His righteousness. It describes a person who enjoys God's favor and who is destined to enter into His eternal kingdom. He stands right in the sight of God. It is the consciousness of a perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect rest. The emphasis of this blessedness is on the grace of God. It is something God does for man. It is His gift to people living in absolute, abject spiritual poverty. It is for those of us who consider ourselves the worst kind of sinners, the chief of sinners. Here's the hope to the one who will cry out to God, "O God, woe is me, and the wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from the form of the body of this death?" Are you enjoying the kingdom of God? Are you enjoying the kingdom of God right now? Where is your spiritual poverty today? Where is the spiritual need in your life as a Christian? Are you bringing that need to Jesus Christ? We can never grow as believers until we recognize our need and ask God to supply it His way. It may be that you have never come to a place of realizing your spiritual poverty. A.B. Bruce observed, "To have a humble opinion of ourselves, to be sensible that we are sinners and have no righteousness of our own, to be willing to be saved only by the rich grace of God." Warren Wiersbe said, "The Beatitudes show us how to enter into the kingdom of God. The first step is admitting my spiritual bankruptcy and having a humble, honest attitude toward myself. Blessed are the poor in spirit" applies the axe to the very root of Pharisaical pride and hypocrisy. "Blessed are they that mourn" deals with my attitude towards sin. Instead of criticizing the other man, I judge myself. "Blessed are the meek or gentle" deals with my attitude toward God. I am submissive to Him and not trying to impress Him with who I am or what I've done. And when I hunger and thirst after righteousness, then God provides that righteousness in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. I exchange my own self-righteousness for the grace righteousness of Jesus Christ. And having received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I can begin to manifest in my life the very character of God. I become merciful instead of condemning. I seek to cultivate purity of heart. I become a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. And as I grow to become more like Jesus Christ, I experience the kind of treatment He received when He was on the earth, reviling, persecution, false accusations. But because of His grace, I become salt and light in a world that is decayed and dark. And having entered the kingdom, it is now my privilege to enlarge the kingdom by applying His righteousness in the world about me. God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. And that's a supreme joy of peace and security of living the exchange life. He is our only source of security and significance and sufficiency. And so the question becomes, what is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you come to the place where you have cast yourself upon Him and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It begins by confessing to Him that, yes, indeed, I am poor in spirit. I am a sinner. I've come short of the glory of God. I have failed to be what God wants me to be. I have an F on my spiritual report card. I need someone to give me life, a spiritual life, an intimate personal relationship with the Lord God. And that life begins only in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins by a person saying, I'm lost in my sin. I cannot live the Christian life. I cannot be what God wants me to be. And I cast myself upon God's grace and mercy. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross in your place. He died for your sins. He paid the full price to provide for you eternal life and salvation with the Lord God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. There is no other way that a person can ever come to an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. So I beg with you right now, this very moment, believe on Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him and His saving grace alone, and you're saved for all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about this life when He said, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Can you find a better way to describe that life than in the words of the Apostle Paul when he says that such a life is full of the fruit of the Spirit? And that kind of life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. That's Christ living His life in and through you for God's glory. Spiritual prosperity is an independent joy, a mindset that takes us through our pain, sorrows and loss and grief and tears and fears, because it's God living out His life in you. Our personal need of security and significance and sufficiency can only be genuinely and fully met in an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All other is failure. Only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can you have this kind of life. A person full of the presence of the Lord God can live for Him. A personally full Christian needs nothing other than God and what He chooses to provide in order to persevere and grow in responsible living. And you can have that kind of life today. You can be the person that God wants you to be by casting yourself upon Jesus Christ, asking Him by the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit to live His life in and through you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have this kind of life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be the person that God wants you to be. God has created us in His likeness, and we are never satisfied in this life until we have that relationship with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The spiritually prosperous life begins at that point. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.